which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is everybody able to clearly hear the sound of my voice? Is anyone here who's hearing impaired who might need the assistance of special hearing devices? We do have them available, I believe, in the back. Is that right, Stan? Thank you. Roll call 1.02. Everyone is here save for Dan Deaver, and Dan is still recovering in a rehab facility in Richland, and I'm going to visit him on Wednesday. I'll give you guys an update. Probably he'll send along his wishes. So at this time, I would entertain a motion to excuse Dan from the meeting tonight.
Make that motion.
We have a motion made and seconded to excuse Dan Deaver. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 1.03, citizen input. Is there any member of the audience or citizens here tonight who wish to address the Othello City Council? If you wish to do so, please raise your hand, and then I'll recognize you, and you can come to the microphone and state your name and your business. State your name, address, and your business. No one? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 2.01. In current business, first quarter report from Adams County Fire District, and we have with us tonight Gary Liebach and the fire chief for Adams County number 5.
Good evening. Pleasure to be here again.
Gary.
So I'll get right into it. We had our first biannual meeting of the year with City Fire Council back the first part of April, and there were 17 alarms during the first quarter. Most of those were January and February. A couple notable among those was one family was displaced with a CO alarm. We did find a CO in the home, so they were displaced for an evening. The pole fire behind the Brunswick on Main Street, we had a pole fire one evening that caused a power outage for the lower portion of town, significant power outage. We dealt with CBHA and Titan for quite a period of time. Then we had one suspicious vehicle fire, so they're just some of the notable out of the 17. We had 8 staff trainings, some of which included school bus extrication, train extrication, hazmat ops. We continued that program. First aid, CPR, EVAP. EVAP is a driving course. We're certified to drive emergency apparatus. And then we do an annual mask fit for every firefighter who wears an SCBA into a fire or a IDLH atmosphere. Assistant Chief Salisbury continued with his inspections of commercial businesses. That's a every year ongoing throughout the year. And then we've got a Walla Walla flush over burn trailer coming this weekend, Saturday morning. All are welcome to come down, take a look, see what we're training on. We do a live fire where we go in the trailer and extinguish a fire. We also do a drill. It's called Get Out Alive. We'll come out through walls. We'll come out through windows. We'll drop. We may drop off the side on a reverse ladder, different things like that. It's a fun time for everybody. Come down and see what we're doing. Assistant Chief Salisbury and I also attended a conference in Yakima, Washington State Trainer's Office, Training Officers Conference, and one of the hot topics this year was volunteer recruitment and retention. Everybody seems to be struggling with that now. In fact, there was an article today, the North all over the state now that are finding difficulties recruiting and retaining. The new thought process is if you can retain a volunteer for 5 to 7 years, that's about all. I hope to retain them longer than that. We want to make a home for them. The conference also covered the new WAC, Washington State safety standards for firefighters, some of those challenges and updates that are coming up. We did start a new recruit program. We had 9 to start with. We're down to 4 right now. So hopefully we can keep those 4 through training. And our plan is to continue our hydrant testing. We're going to hire a part-time person to assist with public works on hydrant testing for the summer. Our goal will be in half the city hydrants again, like we've done the past several years. And they'll also be doing pump testing, hose testing, the whole summertime activity, just like the past. And we're maintaining or continuing our programs to update our safety gear, bunkers, nozzle hose gear, whatever. We've got several programs going on. And all the city apparatus is in working order, good shape right now. We continue to watch 8120, which is the older ladder. We've had some problems with that in the past. We continue to watch that. We'll be pulling the top off the tank to check that this summer and see where we're at there as well. And my board of commissioners has came up with the idea. We would like to have a workshop later this fall and talk about some long-range goals, where we want to see the fire department go, how we can obtain that. And that will involve the city too. So we'll be getting back to you on that. It'll be a workshop that we come to and we'll talk about the future.
Thank you, Gary.
If you have any questions.
Yeah, I do. Since I've become mayor since the first of the year, I've heard a number of different reports of the emergency services having meetings, the different entities, the county, the fire department, the police department, city. In your opinion, how is that going?
Some of those are just in the beginning, being established. Mm-hmm. For instance, the school district has a safety committee now,
yes,
which involves law, fire, emergency management, now has joined that committee, as well as a large core of principals, superintendents, and vice principals, some other people from the school district. We meet once a month, and we're making some headway there. We do, we've been trying to do a tabletop. With everything we have to cover, it hasn't been every month that we're doing a tabletop. I think our goal is to get a small tabletop every month, whether it's our last one was a simple fire incident, or it could be a missing child or something more dramatic. But we want to be prepared and plan for that in the future so we can step up to the plate. The other is a local emergency planning. The LEPC, which deals with hazardous materials in our community. We've been working with this program for 3 years, trying to get it established. And right now, our attendance has grown in Othello. It's grown significantly. John, you were from Keynes. We've seen a big increase the past several meetings. So looking forward to that. Taking direction there. But we have several other things that we do through the community, but those are probably the biggest topics.
item on our agenda is item 2.02, iPad computers for council, and Stan Anderson has a staff report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Part of my job is to squeeze a penny so tight that it squeals, but balancing that with making certain that we all have the tools that we need to get the job done. Now, as you're all aware, those laptops in front of you are 4 years old. They are, I guess we could say, functionally obsolete, or close to it at this point. They're a little slow. We've had to do some repairs, minor ones. But the time has come that I'd like to propose we purchase iPads for the council. Throughout the state of Washington, my counterparts at cities and counties, quite often on my mailing list, on my listserv, have mentioned that they are getting iPads for the council, or iPads for the commissioners. And I think that it's time that we fall in line and get some a little more modern equipment. These will weigh in the neighborhood of, you know, 1 to 1.5 pounds instead of having to go to the chiropractor after each meeting. The other part of that is they have about a 10-hour battery life, so you won't have them all plugged in while you're sitting in your meeting. You can have them charged when you come in and not have any fear of, no matter how long the meeting lasts, of having to go beep, 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 and go dark on you. So the two different ones that I researched and came up with, I found the best price I could come up with for the fourth generation iPad is $418 each, or $490 for the latest one, the iPad Air. The iPad Air is about 0.44 pounds lighter, 1.44 pounds instead of 1 pound for the iPad Air. That isn't a real significant thing. The screen resolution still uses the Retina display, sharp and clear. Cameras are the same. So it'd be really up to the council if you want to go with the most current iteration or the one prior. And then about $30 for the case. There's so many different ones to choose from. You can easily spend $50 for a case, but I don't think that we need those. And you can get some real cheap ones for $10. But that's something I think that we can probably look at after we've determined if we're going to be getting the iPads.
Council?
Have you done any comparison on, or do you know about what a laptop would cost versus the iPad? Because it looks to me like all of the iPads would be about the same as a couple of the laptops.
Substantially. On occasion, I can find a laptop for $350 to $400, but then you're still carrying around a heavy laptop.
Yeah.
And it's really a matter of choice, you know, for the council. Give you more desk space in front of you for writing. They are not constantly doing Windows updates that, you know, they irritate me, they must irritate you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, as you know, I'm all in favor of this because I brought this up at the last budget session last fall. And I think that it's cost efficient. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's going to be a lot less to buy all iPads as opposed to replacing all of the laptops. Plus, we won't have to carry around these heavy machines anymore. He's right. They are backbreakers.
Is there anything that can be done with these if we make the decision to go with the iPads?
I would imagine that one or two of them we would probably keep in-house for when someone goes to a conference if they're needed. The other ones, I would propose that we would surplus those, and when they're put up for sale, we advertise that on the website and in the newspaper and take bids. I would imagine that we will recover maybe $50 to $100 a piece would be my guess. There's no telling what somebody will bid. Maybe there'll be more than that, maybe there won't be that much, but that's just a semi-educated guess.
Debbie, does the city have an annual sale of surplus property?
No, what we've done before is we used to have annual sales.
last couple of years, we have gone to advertising the locally. I had Spencer look up 2011. We sent a number of items off to propertyroom.com, and we could not find a penny coming back in from those. And we know that we got money back in when we advertised them locally and sold them.
Okay. Just to pass them. Okay, Council?
I guess my only comment would be I would go for the latest one because anything, I mean, if you buy a computer today, it's already something better the next day. You know, so.
Yeah, well, and you're only looking at a difference of what? $600 there. It's not that much.
I would concur with that.
All right, then I guess is there any more comments or questions of Stan? Then shall we look for a consensus to put this on our agenda to vote on at the May 12th, mm-hmm. next Monday's council meeting?
Yes.
Okay. And then Stan, there were some questions about the website.
Okay.
The updating of, can you explain that? Because I'm still a little fuzzy on how all that works. What we took pictures in February. All that hasn't been updated yet. So, who maintains the website? How is that all content?
The process has been, and that's always certainly subject to change. Process has been that the departments are each responsible for the content for their department. And they submit that to me to have it put up. If it doesn't get submitted, it doesn't get put up. I don't know about it until somebody tells me. And we also have, we brought Molly on, and Molly has been doing the updates for the pool and public works substantially, not everything yet. We had a scheduled meeting last week I don't know exactly what happened with that, but the training didn't happen. But she will be, and Rebecca also will be doing the posting of the minutes, is what we've been planning. It does require, it isn't the most user-friendly interface for updating, but once the training is done, it's not too bad. But it does require setting the permissions so that, and then giving the training. If you look at the website, for example, if you go to the part where it shows city documents on your menu, and off to the side, it had a secondary menu, and you click on that, and it was required redundant updates. Today, I went through that and pointed it to the same place, so we didn't have to update two different places for the same content. I did not design that. I just changed it the way it makes sense to me.
I also noticed that when you go to the documents section also mm-hmm. in the city, and you have the city council minutes.
Yes.
And I realize that it's saying that it's got zero files because there's nothing but folders in it, and all the files are in the next folders. Is there some way we could have that reflect how many folders are in there so that it doesn't look like there's nothing in there?
I will look into that.
Yeah.
I've noticed that also.
Or take it off.
I would love to have it just not show, but
yeah.
The problem is, you have a piece of software mm-hmm. that, or a module that is purchased, mm-hmm. and how they design that is kind of beyond our control. There may be some customization. I can look at the programming code and see if I can find a way to make that change.
Yeah.
But I will put that on my to-do list to check into it at least.
Yeah, because there were several of those folders that say they have nothing in them.
Right. And they might have hundreds.
But they have, you know, 20 files, folders in there that have the files in them. So it looks like there's no city documents in there, but there really are.
Yeah.
I believe the council and the mayor would like to make a request that you update the elected officials.
Okay.
Section.
If we have, I would love to have those pictures. Have the pictures been taken?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
February.
As soon as I have them, I will be most happy to do that.
Okay, thank you.
I'll do that tomorrow if I have that in my head.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, Stan.
Okay, you got it.
Next next item under current business, 2.03, review of proposed ordinance relevant to garbage. And Spencer has a staff report.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mayor. Over the last few months, maybe a little less than a year, the city's really had a push to go through our different titles, different sections of the municipal code to update things, make things current, consistent, beyond consistent with city policy, making one title consistent with another title, making sure things are up to date and legal. And so tonight we have another ordinance to review with you as a full council. Tonight we're not looking for any kind of action. This is just an FYI. We're going to go through the section Title V. It's titled Health and Safety, and the garbage is a part of that. There are also a couple of other things that are part of this title also that we can go through. Late last year, we sent all of our municipal codes to a company called Code Publishing, and they reviewed our codes for the legal and consistency across titles, all those things. And we've gotten the results back from their review, and we've been looking at each one of the codes internally just to make sure that the processes match what we do, or if there are some things that we can change that just make sense, then we want to make a couple of those changes too. We have a couple other titles that are going to be coming down the pike here really soon: the street, the water sewer, the finance, chapter 3. So in coming, those are, I guess, stay tuned things. I'm going to sit down on my computer though, so I can kind of walk through just a couple of the changes in the Title V that we're going to go through tonight. Most of these changes are small. They're updating words, verbiage, those kinds of things. But we'll have just a couple things to discuss. So as you can see, there we go. This is the very front of the ordinance, Title V. This document is only a couple of pages long, about 9 pages long. It doesn't have everything from from Title V in it. This is just grabbing the sections that have proposed changes to them. So you can see there are a couple of things that just don't apply anymore. This one down here is updating Chapter 820 to 520. So we have a couple of those things. Here down here, underlined, the items that are underlined are proposed additions, this whole bottom line here, and things that are crossed out are proposed deletions. So this first one here is under Chapter 5, or Title 5, Chapter 8, and this is for the solid waste and refuse collection and disposal. So this is unique to the garbage. Here, we have a weekly pickup of all of our garbage toters. We just thought it would be a good idea to add a little verbiage here to grant us a little bit of leeway when it comes to 40-yard containers and compactors. Those don't always need to be picked up on a weekly basis. And so by having a statement in here that says excluding compactors and 40-yard excluding compactors and 40-yard containers, which can be an on-call basis, this just gives us a little bit of leeway to do what really needs to be done. On the next page, we have a couple of lines here to add. The garbage, as you know, is one of the utilities that we offer along with water and sewer. The water and sewer ordinances have some verbiage in there that says if someone's utility account isn't paid for a two-month period or more, then we shut their water service off, for example. We didn't have anything in our garbage code to match that. And so this verbiage right here is just making our garbage code consistent with the water and sewer code. They're all utilities, and the process is the same across the board there. So here this says, for those garbage accounts that are not billed simultaneously with the water and or sewer account. The garbage service will be discontinued if there is an unpaid two-month bill at the end of the billing period that falls immediately after the due date of the second month's bill. So again, that's just a consistency thing. Down a little bit, we have some penalties for violations of some of the items mentioned in this code. Here we have a violation that's $150, and Code Publishing suggested that we add a little, just a couple of words here on the end, except where a penalty is specified. Other places of the code say that this is a C10 violation or a C whatever type violation, and so this just makes that distinction a little more clear. Down the next one, we're crossing out the words misdemeanor, and we're adding infractions. You can see down a couple more times here, misdemeanor to infraction. I was just talking with our police chief, and he said, yeah, these aren't misdemeanors. These aren't misdemeanors. And so that's just old language that we need to update to infractions. There were, I think, just two other things I was going to point out. On page 6, if we scroll down to page 6, down towards the bottom, here again, crossing out misdemeanor and adding infraction. Title 5, chapter 24, is called the Volcanic Ash Control chapter. And I thought that was a little strange, but the ordinance was established in 1980, which obviously makes a lot of sense. It was in August of 1980, so this is 3-4 months after Mount St. Helens blew. And people are getting sick and tired of all this ash being around. And so here we're just changing the misdemeanor to infraction. And the fine within this title is an amount not less than $100, but not to exceed $250. We're changing it from $500 to $250. That's more in line with other infractions of the code. There's a small change there. Then the very last one I was going to mention is under noise control. Page 8, this is a section that's highlighted. Any sound which is audible at any school, well, this is just noise control. Code Publishing sent in their notes, they were wondering if we want to add a decibel level to our noise violations. Right now, the way our code is, it gives some leeway to the officers and and to Heather also in enforcing noise violations. I spoke with our attorney a little bit earlier today about inserting a decibel. Here, this is Code Publishing just posing the question, do you want to consider entering a specific decibel level here, or a specific decibel level for different types of areas around the city? And our attorney said, you know, the cities really go one of two ways. The first is they go with the state standards, which offer specific decibel levels for different areas, which is pretty ironclad. If you have an officer at the scene with the decibel reader right when it happens, that's an ironclad violation that can't easily be disputed. However, the chances that you have the officer and the decibel reader and the noise violator, all those things together at the same time is kind of unlikely. So the other direction that most cities go is more in line with the rest of the code as it's written. It just gives a little more discretion to the code enforcement and to the officers. So those are the main changes to Title V. There are not a lot of big ones. I was gonna see if there was any input on the decibel level. I just spoke with our chief just before the meeting, and he said, no, we don't want to go that way. We want to keep it the way it is now because it gives the leeway to the officers. So I guess that's all I have for you tonight. This code, we'll bring this chapter back next week for final approval. And then we'll also have a couple other chapters that we'll be revealing, and we'll just start cycling through some of these codes here pretty quickly. With that, that's all I've got.
Council? Questions? Very good, Spencer. Thank you. Okay. Item 3, committee reports. Are there any committee reports tonight? Item 4, is there any unfinished business tonight before the council? Item number 5, is there any new business to come before the Othello City Council tonight? Hearing none, we'll move to item 6, executive session personnel. And I'm going to read a small statement. Council will now adjourn at 7:30 p.m. to go into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110G to review the performance of a public employee. The executive session is expected to last 15 minutes. No action will be taken during the executive session. And with that, all the staff except for Wade is excused, and you guys will prepare us for executive session.